You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Thanks for joining me, Mr. Ray Roberts, former NFL offensive lineman, first-round draft pick, and All-American at the University of Virginia. Ray, let's start off with the background of your journey. Now, we both share a love for UVA and serving young people. The country is on fire about the Colin Kaepernick situation. But before we go there, let's chat about your background. You were born in the Tar Heel State, in fact, in Asheville. Tell us where it all started and if you ever saw yourself as a pro football player.
Well, like you said, it all started in Asheville. I can remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old and I was watching my cousin play football. And I would always walk down to the sideline, and I would stand right beside the coach. And the legend is that even as like a 5 or 6 year old watching my teenage cousin play football, I kept asking the coach to put me in. And so that's kind of where it got started. And it was just something about the game that represented an outlet for me. It represented some place where I could go and have fun and be with other people. And I'm not going to lie, the physical part of it was just something that really drew me to it. I didn't really play a ton of other sports growing up. I played some basketball, but I didn't play anything else. But I really liked the physical play. And so by the time I got to high school, believe it or not, I was only about 5'11" in 10th grade.
Wow.
And I was a linebacker, and then by the time I graduated, I was about 6'5" and about 240 pounds, so I had like an unbelievable growth spurt, and was being recruited mostly because of that, because people could see me growing in athleticism and all those things, and had originally committed to the University of Tennessee, and then took a trip up to UVA, and just really liked it. It just really... The folks there, Sean Moore, who was ended up being probably the greatest football player ever there,
yes,
was the guy that hosted me. And his personality was a lot like mine. His humor was a lot like mine. And so I changed my mind on my way home that I was going to go to the University of Virginia. And that's how I ended up at UVA. And then as it relates to playing professional football, never really – I can't say that I had – I guess I wanted to play football – professional football, I can't say that I ever thought it was a reality until these scouts started coming around. You know, they're coming around looking at some of the older players. We had these guys, two linebackers, David Griggs and Jeff Loggeman, a couple of years older than me, and some scouts were watching them at practice one day, and as I was walking by, I heard them say my name, and I was just like, whoa, well, that was interesting. And so then I just kept standing close to them to see what they were saying. And one of them said that, hey, if this kid keeps doing what he's doing, he could be like a NFL first-round draft pick. And this is before I played any games at UVA.
That's
and
incredible.
That just gave me some confidence. And then from that point on, I was just a different beast. I was a different dude to deal with in practice. I was a different dude in the weight room, all those different things, because then someone had opened up the door in my mind that I can get to the NFL. And so that became my journey to get there.
Well, that's a great story because it speaks to when we as adults, if we can just pour positivity into our young people, give them confidence and let them know that we believe in them, that might be the turning point in someone's future and how they end up developing. Did you have
Absolutely.
Any...
Absolutely. I had another coach there too, Danny Wilmer, who was the guy who recruited me. One day he pulled me to the side and said, I want you to act like you belong here. Like we would not have brought you here if we didn't think that you belong. And this is your team. This is your school. This is your weight room. This is your field. This is, and so just giving me permission to have ownership of the situation and of the journey, which I had never had. You know, I grew up really, really poor. And so you just always was in a position where you were receiving things or asking for things. You never really felt like you had ownership of anything. And for this guy to give me basically ownership of the grounds at UVA was powerful.
Now, I have to ask this question. Did you have a favorite ACC team that you like to play against that you really got fired up for?
Any of the North Carolina schools. Just because I grew up there. But I would have to say the hardest team to play against and to root against was North Carolina. I grew up a Carolina fan, football and basketball. I wore number 56 in high school because of Lawrence Taylor. One of our greatest high school basketball players, Buzz Peterson, was a basketball player at Carolina. And so just watching him play basketball growing up was just was pretty incredible. And then to have someone from my hometown go to the Tar Heels was pretty spectacular. So I'll tell one story. I was at UVA watching the Carolina-UVA basketball game in U-Haul, and J.R. Reed came down the middle of the lane and slam dunked on everybody. And just my instinct, I just jumped up, was like, yes! And then I turned around, was like, uh-oh. Like, I'm in the middle of all of these UVA folks. And the coach took one of the coaches took me into the locker room and was like, hey, man, like, when we brought you here, we didn't just want your body and your mind. We want you know, want your heart, too. And I was like, man, it's hard. Like, I bleed Carolina blue, man. It's hard to let it go. And so from that point on, I decided, you know, I'll cheer, obviously, for UVA. But anytime Carolina's playing anybody else, I'm going to be a Carolina fan. And so that's kind of how I've always gone about it.
Well, that's a great story. And being here at UNC, there are so many UVA people here. And up at UVA, there are so many UNC people. And, of course, we know the schools share a lot in terms of their structure, their philosophy, and being public Ivy, so to speak. Now, I know you're very, very smart. You earned your master's degree in sport business at the University of Washington, and then you even spent some time at Microsoft. Do you miss corporate America, or what advice would you give young people interested in working for a big company?
Well, I never had envisioned myself, you know, working somewhere at Microsoft. But when I was going through the master's program, I took a lot of diversity and inclusion classes, and it just kind of pulled me to that space. And so I was coaching high school football, and one of my assistant coaches, his wife, worked at Microsoft, and he was talking about this position that they had, and they're trying to fill it. And she worked in diversity and inclusion, and so I said, "Well, I'm gonna apply for it," and I did, and went interviewed, got the job, and it was like one of the greatest, coolest experiences ever.
Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Mr. Ray Roberts, businessman and former NFL lineman with Seattle and Detroit, where he was a team captain who opened holes for the Barry Sanders, who achieved 2,000 yards in one season. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with Ray Roberts, former NFL player and All-American at UVA. Many Americans appear to be confusing Colin Kaepernick's and other athletes and stars their peaceful protest against racism and police brutality with a lack of respect for the country. Ray, what are your thoughts on this matter?
You know, I really started out as very frustrated and angry simply because there never seems to be a right way or a right method for people of color to protest without it being criticized so hard that the actual messaging for why the protest is happening gets lost in the shuffle. And so, you know, at first I can't say that I had an opinion one way or the other about the kneeling because I was focused more on why he was doing it, and I couldn't understand why other people couldn't get past that. And so I was a little bit frustrated at that and angry with that. But I would say that probably one of the more impactful things for me is that this dude put his entire career on the line to stand up for something that he really truly believed in. And people can't see the honor in that. They can't see how that in itself is patriotic because our country was built on that. And that they can't see the sacrifice. And they can't see even to the point where they say, well, I'm not really sure what he's protesting. It's not very clear. And what is he doing? He hasn't done anything. It's like, well, you're not looking. And you're not listening. And you're not watching because the guy has done a lot. Like, it's a lot to just say, I'm going to put at least $8 or $10 million a year on the line, and I'm going to take this knee, and I'm going to create a voice for people that don't have a voice, and I'm gonna jeopardize all of that. And that in itself is action. That in itself is a first step when people think that it's nothing, that taking a knee does nothing. But it has done a lot. It has really mobilized the mindset and the thinking of a lot of other people. One of the more disappointing things is even the more recent protest this past weekend is that they kind of hijacked the actual reasoning for why Colin Kaepernick started kneeling to begin with. And so it was cool to see that there was unity with the players and with the owners and coaches and things like that. But the protest wasn't really about unity. It was more about injustices and as it relates to law enforcement and how people of color are treated and their experiences with law enforcement. And so it looks good and honorable that there's a sense of unity in the NFL around taking a knee. But I would hope that some of the folks that did take the knee and some of the owners that kind of stood up and spoke out and coaches would focus their attention not just on the unity but on the real purpose of why this all started over a year ago. So,
well, there's no. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, being here in Seattle has been very interesting because some of the leaders around the thoughts and trying to move this conversation along are from the Seahawks, and Doug Baldwin,
yes,
and Richard Sherman, more Doug than Richard. And so it's a really interesting place to be around and part of it.
Well, I definitely will continue to say publicly and privately that America just seems to not want to have this conversation around the history of our country, how racism was constructed, and how there is no institution that I'm aware of or agency where you don't have disparate outcomes for brown and black people in America. The inequalities, the injustice, the lack of equal opportunity, whether you're talking about education, juvenile justice, health inequities, you can just go down the line. And until we have that conversation, which hopefully will move towards policies and practice, we're going to continue to get stuck. We're going to have deflections. We're going to have something like this where you're talking about a peaceful protest that our soldiers fought for, as in they fought for the Constitution, not the flag. We will continue to have this attempt to move it over to another subject. This is not about the patriotism, as you stated. I believe that it is about a young man who's starting a movement around awareness in this matter. And the flag is just a vehicle. The kneeling, excuse me, is just a vehicle. When people march, they're not protesting against traffic. When people put up flyers on poles, they're not protesting against building construction. It's just a vehicle to gain attention.
Yeah, and I would strongly agree with everything you said. And, I do some workshops around conflict resolution. And sometimes you have to be willing to, even if you are being upset and offended by the kneeling, and that's your perspective of it. Okay, let's put that on the table. When we go to have the talk, that's on the table. I get it. I understand it. Now what? Mm-hmm. Now what are you willing to do? I'm acknowledging that what I've done has offended you, but I want to talk about why I was doing what I was doing. So how then do I get you past this anger and this frustration and this misguided anger and criticism to where then we can now have a conversation, because I'm going to give you that you may be offended. So we're going to start from there. You are offended. Okay, now what?
Yes.
Okay, how do we get past that so we can talk about these things? Because while you're still being offended that I'm kneeling, these injustices are still happening. And people of brown and black colors are being, unjustly brutalized and killed in some situations, and stopped and frisked and given lack of opportunities and all these different kinds of things, as we are sitting here debating whether or not my knee is offending you because I take a knee to a national anthem. And so I try to get people moved past that point so that you can have the conversation. However, sometimes the anger in me flares up, and I need to have some of the things that I want to say that may offend some people, and that may rattle some other people's thoughts and ideas, and even some of my friends. It does at this point. I'm willing to do that in order to jumpstart a conversation. I feel that the more you can keep people talking, the greater chance you have for understanding, at least, and both sides learn something. And if you can do that, then that's a good place to start.
You're exactly right. In fact, since 2009, the NFL has not even required their players to stand for the anthem. But we'll be right back with Mr. Ray Roberts, former scholar athlete, NFL offensive lineman, and entrepreneur. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with Mr. Ray Roberts, former NFL offensive lineman for Seattle and Detroit and business owner. Ray, here's your choice question. What moves you to tears or to laughter? What brings out the emotion in you?
Well, I would have to say, being a father, both tears and laughter are drawn from watching my kids do things and hanging out with them and doing great things. I have a daughter who received a basketball scholarship to Central Connecticut State when we were living back in Virginia, and just watching her put in the time and the effort that it took to make herself that type of a player. It was really emotional for me, just because it was really similar to my pathway to college. And a lot of times people think that she and I are twins anyway, and so it was kind of watching a mini-me, go about her business. And then I have a son that's 6'8 and about 310 pounds,
whoa,
who is a first year at the University of Virginia, and he doesn't play anything. But he is super, super smart. The dude has unbelievable emotional intelligence to be able to read people's moods and situations and know exactly what to say or do. One quick story is, when I was doing the master's program, I was in school all day, and then I had to come home and be studying all night. And he was probably like 6 or 7 years old, and he kept saying, "Hey, Dad, let's have a boys' night, or let's go to dinner." And I'm just like, "Buddy, I have to get this studying done, and I have to go back to school in the morning, and da-da-da-da-da." And so one day I was driving home, and I said, "You know what? Whatever," his name is Slade, I said, "whatever Slade asked me to do, I'm going to do it today." And as I was coming through the garage door, he was standing in the door with a piggy bank, and he said, "Dad, I want to pay for dinner." And,
wow,
how can you not cry right
yes.
there? How can you not, in that moment go man, this kid, I don't know how he knew that I had made up my mind that I was going to do something, but he knew it. And he has had situations like that all the time in his life. So he's a very, emotionally aware individual. And so he does things that absolutely does bring you to tears. And then my younger son, Price, who's 12, his energy around politics. He's been a presidential historian since he was about 5 years old.
That is wonderful.
He's read maybe every book you can imagine about a president. And so watching him be so invested in the campaign, to be so invested in what's going on right now, I would say that it doesn't bring me to tears, but it makes my heart race, because I know my pathway to college was through athletics. And for my kids to be able to, just on their ability to perform in a classroom, have an opportunity to go to college, I don't know if that makes sense to everyone else, but to me, it's a tremendous testament to how far I've come, but then also to, I feel, the way I've communicated things to my kids in a way that they've received the idea that the knowledge is power. And I really do. That brings laughter and tears at the same time.
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that you've been a great, great ambassador for the state of North Carolina, for the University of Virginia, University of Washington, the NFL, We're going to see a lot more of great things happening to you and certainly the way you serve others. So thanks again for spending time today. Ray Roberts, entrepreneur, former NFL offensive lineman, first-round draft pick, and All-American at the University of Virginia.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm willing to come on anytime about almost anything.
Well, thank you again.